Good morning. Glad y'all are here with us. If you're a guest, then we are so glad that you came on this weekend of celebration and of holiday. And so we're glad that you're with us. Hope that y'all will enjoy your day tomorrow. You know, speaking of future things, one of the big questions that you ask right now is, well, what are your summer plans? And James is going to introduce us to this topic that maybe sneaks in this subtlety of, maybe you can pick up what he's talking about. If I were to say, well, in 3 weeks, we're going to go on a vacation, and we're going to drive there, and we're going to stay in this address, and we're going to do these things, and then we're going to come home. That doesn't seem strange or odd or sinful, does it? But yet, James is going to bring up the reality that maybe it is. That maybe those words reveal something in my heart. An element of pride and self-sufficiency. An element of arrogance that's autonomous. That thinks, well, I make my own plans and I do what I plan and that's what happens. And James is, he continues to just kind of creep on our toes with these aspects of what does the life of a believer look like? And again, he's going to show us that our words reveal an internal heart condition, and that internal heart condition sometimes, even for those of us who think we're walking with the Lord, sometimes there's more. And so he's calling us to more and more Christ-likeness. And he's calling us to live out this reality of what Jesus has done in us. And so let's pray, and then we're going to look at this text and see if we can unpack the subtleties of a life that's characterized by autonomy and the dangers of that. Let's pray. Lord, would you search us? Lord, would you use the big, bright spotlight of your Spirit that it might shine into all the dark corners of our heart? Lord, that in your grace, your Spirit might convict us to draw us out of our selfishness, our self-sufficiency, and into a dependency on you. Lord, we pray that you would give us that awareness, Lord, but that you would also give us the courage to walk in obedience to what you're doing in our life. Lord, that you would give us the humility that you reward in giving grace to the humble. Lord, and would you do it for your own glory, that we might be a display of your holiness, your love, your compassion, your grace to those that we interact with. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's read our text. If you've got your Bible, James chapter 4, verse 13 through 17. And James says this, he says, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we'll go into such and such a town and we'll spend a year there and we'll trade and we'll make a profit. Yet you don't know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, to him, it is sin." I think it's helpful for us to break this text into two kind of categories. So the first category that I want you to see is I want you to see the arrogance of autonomy. Right? We live in a culture in which we're self-made people. That's a self-made man or that's a self-made woman. That they pulled themselves up by their bootstraps. That they worked hard to get where they're at. And we live in a culture that praises autonomy. We live in a lifetime where to work hard is a great thing. And it is. But it's to the neglect of recognition that God is the one who gives good gifts. It's to the neglect that God is the mastermind who's sovereign over all things, including your ability to think and breathe. That to be a self-made autonomous person is dangerous for us. And that's what James tells us, that there is an arrogance to autonomy that can creep in our lives. So let's look and see verse 13. He says, come now, you who say. Now again, I just want us to see that James is addressing character issues. He's addressing heart issues. But the way that we see those is through what we say. The way that we see those character heart issues is through our actions. And so James points us, he says, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. I want you to see that this person presumes a lot. First, they presume upon time. They presume that today or tomorrow. There's the presumption that they can choose the time. Second, we see that there's a presumption of destination, that we will go to such and such town. So there's a presumption on time, there's a presumption on destination, there's a presumption on the duration of their time there, that they'll stay there for a year. There's a presumption upon the plan, that they'll go there to trade. And there's a presumption upon the purpose, to make a profit. So this would be someone that would be in a great running for an executive pastor position, right? They know time, destination, duration, plan, and purpose. They can plan it all out for you. And that's many of us, right? It's like we want all the details done, all the I's dotted and T's crossed. We have our plan. Where will we be in 10 years? Where will you and your family be next year? What's the plan that you have in place? What's on the calendar for the rest of this year? Do you have all the I's dotted and the T's crossed? Have you planned it out? Well, James isn't rebuking planning. He's not even rebuking, as some might think, that they're going there to make a profit. He's not rebuking their entrepreneurial drive. What James is rebuking, as we'll see in the rest of this, is he's rebuking their arrogance of autonomy. That they have done all of this without the thought of God's plans and purposes. That they've done all of this without even considering or offering to God, what would you have me to do? That it's all about self. It's all about their own strength. James shows us in verse 14 this reality that there's an arrogance out of ignorance, that their arrogance of autonomy flows out of ignorance. Look at what he says. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. There's an incredible irony here, right? That they're planning a year from now, and James goes, you know what tomorrow's going to be? Right? They don't even know tomorrow, and yet they're presuming that they can plan a year in advance. It's out of ignorance that they do this. They don't know. Then he shows us that further there's an arrogance out of invincibility. Just ask any 13 to 25-year-old man. They are invincible, right? No harm can be done. That they are invincible. And yet James points out, he says, what is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little while. And then it vanishes. The context here is this mist is like a breath. It's just like a, it's there and then it's gone. It's a vapor. That our life is but a mist. And yet, we go about our day, waking up each and every day, planning for the future, thinking that we're invincible. And James reminds us, you're not invincible. You're a mist. And that it's arrogant to think that you control your destiny because you're but a mist. The third thing that I want you to see in this arrogance of autonomy is that there's an arrogance out of independence. Look at verse 16. James goes on and he says, as it is, you boast in your arrogance. all such boasting is evil, that there's an arrogance out of independent. I don't need anyone else. I am independent and can do it myself. James specifically calls this boasting evil. This is the same word that is used to describe the evil one. This is the word for Satan or the devil. That James says that this boasting of self-madeness is the same level of Satan. Now, that's interesting because what did Satan do? Well, Satan took the good gifts which God had given him and he claimed them for himself. He claimed God's glory for himself. The goodness that God had given him, the beauty that God had given him, he took it for himself. Look what I've done. Look who I can be. And so this is where we really start to see what's underneath this arrogance of autonomy. That there is a boasting in your arrogance. Well, what does that look like for us? Well, I think it might look something like this. Well, I did it, didn't I? I succeeded. I got to the top. I made the promotion. I got the job. I'm thriving at my career. I did it. It's because I worked hard. It's because I made the right connections with people. It's because I befriended the right people. It's because I did it. Well, I was just creative with that patent. I did it. I worked the right angles. I woke up before everybody else. I worked harder than everybody else. I. And yet in that, if we would take a step back, how might God look at that? I gave him the mind to think, and yet he's claiming it for himself. I gave her the breath in her lungs, and yet she's claiming it for herself. I gave them the energy to do it, and yet they're claiming it for themselves. That there's an arrogance in boasting about our arrogance. And it is on the same level as that which Satan did. See, James shines this light in to something which seems so ordinary, something which seems so natural. And that's exactly what it is. It's the natural flesh responding in opposition to God. It's the ways of the world thinking rather than the ways of God. But this light, this exposure, it shows these blemishes and this entitlement. It shows this pride and this arrogance which is living in the recesses of our heart, in which James says, that's not good. It only grows and festers. And you need to root it out. You need to get rid of it. So how might one get rid of this arrogance of autonomy? Well, I think that James gives us a little bit of instruction. And it comes in delighting in dependency. Okay? It comes in delighting in dependency. See, this is the story of the whole Bible. That in Genesis, God created Adam and Eve, and he put them in a garden. And when he first created Adam, then he said, well, it's not good for Adam. He's not self-sufficient in and of himself. Let me make him a partner. Someone to help him, a helpmate. Because he's not enough on his own. And she's not enough on her own. They need more. They are dependent. But they don't just need each other. They need God, right? That all throughout the Old Testament, God just continues to show Israel that they're not enough in and of themselves. That he's created them to be dependent. That they might delight in that dependency because God is a good God who gives graciously to those without reproach. That he's a generous God and a kind God. That he inclines his ear to the cries of his people. that he is a good God, and that when they delight in depending on him, he always comes through. He never lets them down. He's always faithful, even despite themselves. See, God has created us to be dependent. And in this instruction that James gives us, verse 15, he shows us that. Instead of saying that I will do this and this, or I will do such and such, James tells us a better way. He says, instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills. There's a different starting point. It doesn't begin with me, it begins with God. And so we see that delighting in dependency recognizes God's sovereignty. It recognizes God, that he is the creator of all things, that he sustains all things, that those contacts which you make for your business, the scripture says that God controls kings. They're like rivers in his hand. That he controls influence. That he is the one who is in control of all things, the breath that you breathe, the number of days that you have, that he is sovereign in creating and in sustaining. It recognizes the sovereignty of God. The second thing that I want us to see in this instruction that James gives us is that it recognizes our human finiteness, that we are but a mist. If the Lord wills, we will live, is what James says. That we are just a moment away from eternity. Some of you may have this a little more aware than others because you've experienced the frailty of life. Maybe it was a doctor's meeting where they came in with bad news and all of a sudden you recognized life is fragile. Maybe it was a loved one that in a moment, the reality that life is fragile and that we are finite came crashing in. We would do well to recognize the reality that every day you wake up is a gift. That God has given you a gift of another day, to live it for his kingdom and his glory. The third thing that I want us to see in this is that delighting in dependency recognizes God's mission and purpose. Look at what he says. He says, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. You see that there's a planning that still goes along with recognizing if the Lord wills. That James is not rebuking making plans for the future. That's actually something that the scripture holds up for us as an example. Look at the ants. They plan for the future. Be like an ant. But James tells us that there's wisdom in recognizing that these future plans are at the will of God. Let me just ask you this question. Why does God have you living in the neighborhood that you're living in? Could it be that there's a purpose for that? It's not just where you chose, but that God, in his sovereignty of knowing all things, has you there for a purpose. What about the job that you work? Why that job? Well, I chose it. Well, wait a minute. What if God, in all of his sovereignty, in the way that he works and moves all things, has you in that job for a purpose, a plan, for his mission, for your good and his glory? What if you're there for a purpose? That when you go, God, I want to wake up today and go to work for your kingdom. I'm going to work hard. I'm going to be the best employee or the best boss. But I want it to be for your glory and your kingdom. What about that family that you have? Those in-laws? Well, I chose her. And I said yes to him. They were just a package deal. Now, what if God's purpose was much bigger than that? What if his plan for you was so much more than that? That he has a plan and a purpose that we would go and do this or that for his glory, for his kingdom. That we would delight in depending on him to accomplish the things which he's called us to. That we would make plans, but that we would hold them with open hands and say, Lord, not my will, but yours. See, James shows us these two contrasts, the arrogance of autonomy and then the delight of dependency. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says it like this. Might be helpful to write on a note card, put in your truck, or put on your mirror, or put on your computer screen at work. It says it like this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll make straight your path. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Depend on God in all things, and he will direct your path. But when you depend on your own wisdom, when you depend on your own ingenuity, when you depend on your own strength, the scripture's clear, we set ourselves up for failure, that it's foolish. James goes on and he says this, verse 17. He says, so, whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, to him it is sin. Seems like a kind of odd tag on, but it's clear in the language that James, in this progression, he's connecting this final instruction to what he has just said. That so right there is therefore. So because of what James has already unpacked, he says, now I want to move you to this big overarching truth. Therefore, whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, to him, that's sin. So wait a minute, Jared. So you're telling me that sin is not just the things which I do. It can also be the things which I don't do? Yeah, that's exactly what James is telling us. That sin is not just the things that you willfully do, commission. It can also be the things which you don't do, omission. So the things which the Lord is bringing to mind, the good things which the Lord has for you to do, the this and that, the plans which he has for you to accomplish, for you to say, no, God, I'm not going to do that. It's sin. For you to ignore God's will, or to deny God's will, or to disobey God's will is sin. And that sin happens in not doing the good things which he's called you to do. Well, that really leaves us in a pretty desperate place. A place of going like, I thought I was pretty good because I wasn't doing a bunch of bad stuff. But now you're telling me I don't just have to not do bad stuff, I got to do the good stuff he calls me to. And even on my best days, I'm not doing all of that. And it leaves us in this place of going like, well, how can I be enough? How can I measure up? I can't. I can't be enough. I can't measure up. I can't not do the bad stuff, and I can't do all the good stuff. I can't. And God goes, ah, dependency. I created you for this because I can. And that's exactly what he did, is that he sent Jesus Christ to die on a cross to pay the penalty of sin. For you and I, that if we would believe, trust in him, he would satisfy the wrath of God, that he would adopt us in, he would cover us with the righteousness of Christ, that we would be called sons and daughters of God, that we would be heirs to the throne, that we would be the family of God, that we would depend on him, that we would be humble. See, James said it like this in verse 6. He says, when you're in that place where you recognize that you're not enough and you can't do it all, and you've run out of that arrogance of autonomy, Verse 6 of chapter 4 says, but he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. That in our delighting in dependency, we have a God who gives more grace. We have a God who opposes the arrogant, autonomous people, but gives grace to those who call on him. To close, I just want to maybe give you four areas to think through. How are you doing? How am I doing in striving for delighting in dependency, for healthy dependency? How are you doing in thinking through retirement? Have you ever just offered up your retirement to God and said, God, not my will, but yours? How do you want me to use it, God? See, we all make plans. You plan out your 401k, you plan, you invest, you do all these things, you work hard, you save extra, you forgo things so that I can get to retirement and I can spend it on myself. No, no. The Christian might go, God, I want to work hard and then I want to serve you. Whatever that looks like, I'm going to probably have more freedom if I get to retirement, if the Lord wills. What about your savings account? James has talked about money quite a bit. He's talking about it next week. Have you ever offered up your savings and said, God, I worked hard. I tried to be diligent. I tried to be honest. It's yours. What do you want me to do with this? How do you want me to use this? What about your material possessions? The things which we have. Are they yours? You said, I'm going to own these things? Or do we open them up to God and say, God, they're yours. You've given me the ability to purchase. You've given me the ability to have these things. They're yours. How do you want me to use them? Lastly, what about your calendar? We all control our time, right? But I think James has called us to this reality that have you ever taken your calendar and said, God, what do you want? What do you want me to prioritize? We've got kids events and we've got sporting stuff and we've got all the things that we've got to do. But God, it starts with you. What do you want me to do? God, it's yours, not mine. I think if we'll begin to do that, sure. Is the Lord going to call you to some things? Yeah, he is. But it's going to be blessed. It's going to be the blessed life. It's going to be the good things. It's going to be the things that matter. It's going to be the things that impact eternity. It's going to be the things which don't burn up in this life. Let's be a people who go, Lord, not my will, but yours. Let's pray. Lord, would you help us to have this awareness? Lord, we need wisdom. You say, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask. And so we're asking, God, that you would give us wisdom in how to do this well. Lord, it's so subtle, it creeps in so easily, this arrogance and this selfishness and this self-centeredness and the self-reliance creeps in so easy. Lord, give us awareness. Give us wisdom. Lord, and then help us to be obedient in that. Lord, that it might display your glory. That our lives might be this reflection of your glory and your goodness and your love. Lord, that we would experience more of you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.